Vision 7 Radio Network welcomes Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes, heard every Monday at 11 a.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Using nearly 200 years of abundant and consistent afterlife evidence, quantum physics, consciousness research, and ancient writings, we seek to understand who and what we are, how reality works, the nature of God, and the meaning and purpose of our lives. Join Roberta weekly to better understand our one reality and gain insights into how we can make the most of the glorious eternal beings that we are.
Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes and I'm delighted you could be with us today. You know, the biggest scientific discovery of the 20th century was made almost a century ago by one of the finest physicists of all time. But as of today, the entire mainstream scientific community still ignores his discovery. All the varied evidence developed in the past century, including a lot of scientific evidence, indicates that he was right. But still, the mainstream scientific community basically keeps its fingers in its ears, its eyes scrunched tight, and it hums louder and louder as it tries harder and harder to drown out the truth. Why on earth would scientists ever behave this way? Well, the answer to that is simple. What this physicist had discovered was the fact that consciousness underlies everything. The first reaction to this new discovery by the scientific gatekeepers, and the gatekeepers, of course, are the university departments and the peer-reviewed journals, their first reaction was to establish what they called the fundamental scientific dogma of materialism. Close to 100 years ago, mainstream science actually turned itself into the religion of atheism, and they still prefer to follow what is ever more certainly being shown to be a completely false set of beliefs, just like a religion, so they don't have to confront what will always be the truth. The physicist who made that pioneering discovery was Dr. Max Planck. He's the same Max Planck who in 1918 won the Nobel Prize in Physics as the father of quantum mechanics, and he was ever more certain about what he had found. In 1931, he said, "I regard consciousness as fundamental. I regard matter as derivative from consciousness. We cannot get behind consciousness. Everything that we talk about, everything that we regard as existing, postulates consciousness." He said in 1944, quite literally, there is no matter as such. All matter originates and exists only by virtue of a force which brings the particle of an atom to vibration and holds this most minute solar system of the atom together. We must assume behind this force the existence of a conscious and intelligent mind. That mind is the matrix of all matter. And Albert Einstein, we've all heard of him, he came to agree with Dr. Planck. He said, concerning matter, we have been all wrong. What we have called matter is energy, whose vibration has been so lowered as to be perceptible to the senses. There is no matter, quoting Albert Einstein. Unfortunately, though, thanks to the short-sighted decision that was made by a few scientific bureaucrats close to a century ago, I'd remind you of that, we have a science that's now completely in the weeds and still refusing to understand the truth. Today, our guest for what is a wonderful 22nd time is our precious friend, Dr. R. Craig Hogan. Craig is a careful researcher and visionary, and he's someone who knows more about the science that actually underlies reality than I think does anybody else now living. Most researchers in the field of the afterlife choose one or a few areas of study to make a career of it. I mean, like, you know, for example, deathbed visions or near-death experiences or whatever. But Craig is one of the very few who sought to understand from the beginning how it all fits together. And it does fit together. Craig's 2008 book is Your Eternal Self, and it's indispensable reading for anyone who wants to understand reality. Until I first read that book, I had all the pieces. I really did. I had spent decades doing the research, but I never could see how they fit together. Then I read Your Eternal Self. I reached out. I met Craig. We became friends. I picked his brain. And the following year, I wrote The Fun of Dying, and the rest of my life has unfolded. Craig Hogan is my personal guru, my inspiration, my precious friend. Welcome, Craig. I'm thrilled to have you with us.
Roberta, as you know, I'm thrilled to always be with you. So I'm looking forward to this. We have a great time together when we talk. So let's go.
I just want to add one more thing. It's important that people understand when I talk about consciousness, I'm not talking about anything that has to do with your brain. Consciousness, the base consciousness that manifests this universe and of which each of our minds is an integral part, the consciousness that both Albert Einstein and Max Planck found is the only thing that exists. And we're going to seek today to better understand how this base consciousness of which we all are part really functions in the modern world. And this is an area where Craig is really an expert. Until enough people understand what we're going to talk about today, it is going to be impossible for humankind ever to improve anything on this planet. So, Craig, take it away. I think most people do know your story by now because you've been on so often, but maybe you could just tell them a little bit about how you came to write Your Eternal Self, which I could not possibly plug it more strongly. If you read any of my books and you get to the bibliographies, you always find this book first. How did you get started even on thinking about writing what is really an extraordinary book?
Yeah, that actually was late in life. It was after a half a century of my life. And I finally discovered at that time that I have psychic abilities. And I was given these gifts. I was given those abilities at that particular time in my life. In fact, I had a numerology that was done at that time. And what they said was that my life became entirely different, that I was actually, it was like I would die and be reborn. Everything was changed. And as a matter of fact, then what happened was I found out that I could hold cards in my hand and I can see the face of the cards. I would know what was on the face of the cards. I would know what the color was, what the suit was, what the number was, by just holding them on the palm of my hand face down. And so then when I discovered that that was true, I also discovered that I have a remote viewing ability. I can sit someplace and somebody can tell me that there is a target, there's something that is on a table thousands of miles away, and I can close my eyes and look and I can describe what's on the table. So when I discovered I had these psychic abilities, I realized that the mind is not in the brain. The mind is not being influenced by the brain. The mind is completely separate from the brain. We're having these mental functions, doing these mental things, and none of it is dependent upon the brain. So that means that when the brain goes away, the mind can just keep on going. And so then I discovered the afterlife and found out more about it and then discovered that now we have roadmaps of the afterlife. I mean, we can just, it's like we can have tour guides. Yes. We know so much about the afterlife and now about afterlife communication. That's what we're focusing on now. So we're far beyond the nature of the afterlife, and we're talking about how do we communicate with people who are living there. And it's just like picking up the phone and dialing them up. And so now we are in the process of expanding all of that research, and that's what ARII is doing. So ARII in the future is going to be doing more research and helping the people who are doing the research so that everybody can communicate, and eventually that will change humankind. So that's how I got into it. And then after that, I wrote the book, Your Eternal Self, in which I assembled all of the evidence that we have that the mind is not in the brain first, that our mental minds then influence reality. We change reality and what the afterlife is like, and that we then will have this marvelous opportunity to transition into what will be the most wonderful part of our lives. And we want people to realize that, to understand that. And so I wrote Your Eternal Self with all the research. It has 306 different sources, and all of them are studies that have been done so that we can approach those who should understand, if they just open up their minds, the fact that the reality is much greater than we believe it to be, that the mental part is only a part of what reality is. And so that's why I wrote the book.
What Craig wrote is extraordinary because it is scholarly, but it's still easy to read. It'll take you longer than an evening, but you can read this one book and you can come out of it as if you've read, you know, dozens of books, as if you've really done the research yourself. So I recommend it to everybody, and it's always top of the list when in the books I recommend that people read who have read my books, so they can fill themselves in on what's really going on. So what is consciousness anyway, Craig? Can you describe it, what it is?
Sure. I think that we can look at what we're doing, what we believe or what we experience, and we can say that's consciousness. So So it's not that great complex thing that people try to make it out to be. It simply is what we experience. So there is nothing but mind and consciousness. Mind is the greater mind. It's the what we would call the divine or the creative source. And then we are portions of that. Tom Campbell describes that as saying that we are individuated units of consciousness. And there's a big C, big consciousness that we're part of. But we're all part of the same consciousness. So the best way to think of this is that we are all dreaming the same dream together. And so we are experiencing the same experiences, but we're each having them individually. Each one of us is having them. So we are having an experience of this world together. So in other words, if we're on the phone right now, we're talking to each other. There actually is no matter that's out there. And it isn't that there's matter and that we are on these phone lines or these transmission lines and that these transmissions are going across. What's happening is we're having the experience of that. We're having the experience of speaking to each other from our different locations, and that experience is in the mind, and it's in the greater mind, and it only seems like it's out there, it seems like it's substantial because of the fact that we're both having the same dream. And so we say, well, you know, if we're talking on the phone and we're having this experience together, that means there must be something outside of us.
That's right.
Not what it is. That's not what it is. What it is in the mind, the big C consciousness, the divine consciousness or creative source, in the mind, the greater mind, we are having that same experience with each other. And that means that we then are creating the experiences. Our minds are creating the experiences. And we can have a different world. We can change the world to be what it is that we want it to be based upon the experiences that we're having as a species. And so we have disease, we have cruelty, we have the conflicts that we have as a result of what we do in our experiences as humankind, as a whole humankind. And we can change that. So we can live in a heaven on earth. And Yeshua Bar Yosef, the sage of Galilee, whose name was mistranslated Jesus, said that the heaven, kingdom of heaven is spread out upon the face of the earth, and men do not see it.
Yes.
And what that means is that we can be in heaven right now. This earth can be a heaven. But we have to change our consciousness.
Yes.
Every one of us has to change our consciousness, and when every one of us changes our consciousness, then that would change the consciousness of the world that we're creating with each other. So the basis of reality is consciousness.
That's it. And there's within consciousness, we're going to be talking about this with Craig in a few weeks, and it's important to understand, within consciousness, time does not exist. This has profound implications, which we'll be talking about next time he and I talk. One of them is that this universe is being continuously manifested. We can't say it was created. We can only say it exists right now, and it always exists in the now. And it actually bends your mind a little bit when you think about these things. Awareness, your personal awareness, is what you think of as you, is part of the awareness, which is all consciousness. When I went through the whole business with A Course in Miracles in killing the ego, which is a really terrible experience, but I recommend it to everybody because it works so well. What got me out of the funk was that my primary guide had me wake up one morning and know that I would never lose awareness. That was my fear. There has to be a fear that you kill. I was afraid I'd lose awareness. And he said, no, you will never lose awareness. You will have God's awareness. The more I think about that, the more I think it's profound. Because your awareness is part of the awareness of God. And the more you advance spiritually, the more perfect and expanded that awareness is going to become. Talk about that, Craig. Talk about what the difference is between the two extremes of consciousness and how we can tell if we're in one or the other.
Yeah, because what we are living on the earth plane, and what we say when we're living on the earth plane, we are actually experiencing the vibration of what we call the earth plane. So that we are all in this dream together. We have agreed to be in it together, and so we experience it as it is right now. Now, while we're on in this dream, while we're having these experiences together, the experiences that we can have are at a very base level, in which we're driven by our desires and our needs and our fears and our concerns, and we can be driven by those so that they can dominate our lives. And if they dominate our lives, then that means that we will attract more of them to us.
That's right.
Because of the fact that they become the predominant vision that we have for what life is. As long as we believe that life is awful, then we're going to live in an awful life.
Yes.
And so what happens is that we can release ourselves from that by raising our vibration, and we raise our vibration by doing the things that are loving and compassionate and fun. We just have a wonderful life and a life that's full of bliss. Joseph Campbell said, "Follow your bliss." So that's what we need to do. And if we follow our bliss, and our bliss becomes more and more loving and compassionate, we become more blissful when we're becoming loving and compassionate. We raise our vibrations, and our lives can be satisfying, comfortable, and just wonderful, just blissful. But we do that ourselves. We're making the choices. So we are living on this dream together, this plane of reality, and we then are making the choices that create this. All of us together are creating it, because we're having our individual experiences, and they match what the whole experience is for the Big C consciousness. And so we're creating that, but we're also creating our own individual consciousness, our own individual lives every moment of the day. So we can go through the day and we can be blissful and happy and not have concerns, or we can go through the day and be fearful and feel lethargic and just having a difficult time every day, all day. That's the choice we make.
So more specifically, consciousness is a kind of energy, infinitely creative energy. And like all energy, it vibrates. And think about music. You can have a very low vibration or a very high vibration. Well, with energy, the lower the vibration is, the more fear-based and negative it is. And that includes all the negative emotions, hatred, anger, all of the negative things. What we see going on in politics right now is a manifestation of profound negative consciousness energy. And as you can see, it feeds on itself. I'm about to write a blog post about this, but it feeds on itself. At the other end of that vibratory range is perfect love. Mikey Morgan said that God is the unity of perfect. He said God is the unity of love in all that exists. You know, unity of pure love. I used to have this memorized. God is the unity of pure love in all that exists. He's absolutely right. So you can make yourself vibrate at a level that's godlike. All you have to do is only love. If that's all you ever do, then that's where you are. And so what Craig is really saying is, you are so creative. You can create your own life. But please, don't let that life get created by the negative feelings that all of us have until we start really working on ourselves. You want to be your best self. You have the power to do that.
Yeah, unfortunately, what's happening is that because of the models that we have, such as you say, the politicians, all of the models have a very negative energy. And so that influences us. It influences humanity as a whole, because of that Big C consciousness is developed by these negative energies.
That's
but
right.
It also influences our outlook on life. So we look at life as being negative, or we look at it as people as manipulating each other, not having concern and love for each other. And they are a terrible, terrible model for us. We're stuck with them. We have no choice. But the fact is that they are creating great difficulties for humanity as a result of what they're doing.
One of the things that we're going to talk about in the next segment is something very important, which is that the consciousness vibration of this planet is apparently at such a low point that unless we can turn things around, it's very quickly going to get even a lot worse than it is now. So for the past century or more, the highest vibration entities have been working to raise the planet's consciousness. Many people now are working for them, basically our avatars. Craig and I are two of them, but there are many people doing this to try to help people understand that our lives are eternal and what we do here counts. But the only thing that counts is learning perfect love. But it's more important than just your own development. If that were all it were, then I would be happy to give my life to helping you develop spiritually. But it's really, this is about whether or not the planet will survive and whether or not humanity will survive. That's the stakes. So what we're going to do is talk about how each of us can become what amounts to a soldier in the army of perfect love. It's not hard. Actually, that's a terrible metaphor, isn't it, Craig? I mean, this is a peace movement if ever there was one. Now, one of the things that I keep telling people is that Jesus is right. Christianity is totally wrong and bogus. Jesus is right. Let's talk about some of the things Jesus says in the Gospels about this. He says, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, oh, there it is, here it is. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Luke 17, 20 to 21. Exactly right. You are part of that kingdom of God. He also said, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. John 4, 24. Now, that turned into, oh, there must be three gods. The reason that they did this in 325 in the Council of Nicaea is that it was a fashion then for there to be triune gods. So they gave us one. God is one. God is spirit. And that spirit is what we experience as consciousness, and it's the only thing that exists. Jesus said, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. John 6:63. Oh, my goodness. Jesus had it going on, didn't he? You can call him Yeshua, you can call him Jesus, but someone came to Earth 2,000 years ago who told us things we're only figuring out now. He also told us how powerful our minds are. Listen to this. Have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, his mind, in other words, is totally going to do it, it will be granted to him. He's not saying God will do it. He's saying your mind is going to do it. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe you have received them, and they will be yours. Mark 11, 22 to 24. Everything Jesus said, genuinely said, that wasn't added later by councils, is absolutely right. And he had a lot to say about the power of our minds. So let's talk about, though, the negative energy. I mean, we all feel it. Everybody can feel that the world is much more negative if you're older like us. Everyone can feel how much more negative the whole energy and vibration of this planet has become in recent years. So talk about that, Craig. What is it now that's going on that's going to change that?
Yeah, the negative energies now are having an effect upon humankind, upon the planet, actually the planet itself, and us as individuals. So we're actually becoming more negative because of the fact that there's so much negative energy affecting us. And the result of that is, because there is so much negative energy, then we're living negative lives. We're attracting negative energy to ourselves, and we're perpetuating that. And we'll continue to do that until we grow out of it. We have to grow as individuals, mentally, psychologically. We have to grow out of that kind of negative energy. And we do that by changing our lives moment to moment. We go through our lives and we try to fill our lives with loving, wonderful, blissful things. And we have wonderful, blissful people around us. And in that way, then we raise our energy and we will become calmer, more loving, more compassionate, and live more blissful lives. But we make that choice every day. And what is that we feed ourselves? We feed ourselves the things that are loving and compassionate and blissful and beautiful, or we fill ourselves with the things that are negative and harmful and cruel. And we make that choice moment to moment every day. So we can change our lives just by changing that. We need to go inside ourselves. People need to spend time in meditation. And that just means going inside and listening to the voice. Because we have people on the other side. We have guides, helpers, other people who want to help us. They are intent upon helping humankind raise its vibration. They're working very diligently on the other side. There are teams of people working on the other side at various levels and are trying to help humankind to raise itself out of this terrible mire that we find ourselves in. And all we have to do is, as individuals, listen to that, follow that, and become part of the movement, become part of that impulse to raise vibrations, raise humanity's consciousness. And we can do that. We each one are able to communicate with these higher powers. And people like Hans Otto Koenig, who is communicating with the higher levels, the fifth and sixth levels, he is finding out from them that they are saying that there will be a change in consciousness. The change in consciousness is coming. And it is coming at a molecular vibrational level. And we then are going to be part of that. We're watching that happen. That's why it's so exciting now. We're coming to these realizations because of that. So there is a change in consciousness happening. We can become part of the consciousness. We do it as individuals, and we do it by raising our vibration, by being loving, compassionate, random acts of kindness for people, looking for opportunities to be with people who are loving and kind, and avoiding people who are not. And turning off the television if you turn on and you get these negative impulses from the politicians or from video games or from the movies that are violent, they all drag us down. They drag humanity down. And if we do that every day, then we will change ourselves, and in the process, we will change humanity.
Yes, absolutely. One of the things we're learning as we look back, because both Craig and I kind of started out trying to understand the afterlife, what seems to have happened is the early part of the, probably about 200 years ago, they figured out that if they allowed us to know a little bit more about the fact that life is in fact eternal, we would still consider this to be a useful school. We still would take it seriously, but we wouldn't be so reckless about thinking that what we do here doesn't matter. So they began trying in all these different ways to teach us that our lives are eternal. And what we're finding now is that science is the biggest obstacle, because science convinces people that none of this wonderful evidence is real. So in the end, I think you agree with me, Craig, that the only way we're going to really have this knowledge that human life is eternal, which is going to change everything, by the way, when everyone or most people know that you never die, the only way that can dawn on the world is if we humiliate scientists to the point of feeling they have to study it. And so we mm-hmm. have to make it incontrovertibly true in everyone's mind, and no one then will pay attention to scientists anymore. Talk about that. Talk about the wonderful things being done now to really make this truth dawn on Earth.
Yeah, and Max Planck also said this about that. He said that we're going to have a difficult time convincing the old bulls that are in the academic institutions that they're going to have to die out. And it's going to be the younger ones who have come up who are going to understand this and change as a result of it. But we're seeing the change happen. We're seeing the change happen because the scientists are now engaging in the study of consciousness. They were forced into it by what the quantum physicists discovered in the early part of the 20th century. So they were forced into it. Some are still stubbornly not wishing to realize that it's true. Einstein himself, till his dying day, didn't understand or believe in quantum consciousness.
He hated it.
Yeah, he just didn't. He said God does not play dice.
Yeah.
The things couldn't be that random. But what has happened is that since that time, science has had to confront the fact that consciousness affects reality. That's a central part of quantum mechanics. Quantum mechanics can't exist without consciousness being central to the phenomena that we're experiencing in the physical realm. So that if you have science, if you have matter, if you have energy, then it must engage in, it must involve consciousness. That means that consciousness, matter, and energy then are fundamental. And actually, the fundamental part of that is consciousness that creates what we perceive as matter and energy. So what we're getting experiences in this dream that we're dreaming together. We're having the experiences, and the experiences are real. The matter is real. The energy is real. But it's real as part of what we are intentionally creating. So we're the ones who are doing this, and we can make this into the wonderful life that it could be. Science then is coming around to realizing that the consciousness does have an impact on reality, and the more that happens, the more they're confronted, it's like they are falling off. You've got this huge crowd of scientists who are bunched together, who have circled the wagons against what's coming on them as an onslaught of truth. And so you're watching them gradually walk away from that. So the ones on the perimeter are walking away from it and coming to realize what we know to be true now. And the more that happens, you're going to have this little gathering of the scientists who are still stubbornly not believing that consciousness has an effect on reality. And eventually then they would realize that consciousness is the basis of reality. And then they will fall away. And then within a century, then all of this will be in the textbooks. Children will be in school learning about these things. They will understand that consciousness is the basis of reality. And it's just going to be accepted as a conclusion that everybody always should have known. And they'll look back upon this time as being the time of ignorance, like it was before Galileo. Yeah, before Galileo. And when the people believed that the Earth was the center of the universe, and we say, oh, how ignorant they were. And that's what people are going to look back on this time now, when people believe the material world, the physical world, is a reality that exists independent of consciousness, independent of us, because it's not. We're creating it.
Nikola Tesla, who was not a car, he in fact was a polymath, an extraordinary scientist. He said, the day science begins to study non-physical phenomena, it will make more progress in one decade than in all the previous centuries of its existence. So I think that kind of sums it up pretty well.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, to have a dogma of material when they understand that matter is all energy, this is kind of lunatic when you think about it.
Yeah, and they realize that they know these truths to be true. They know from the double-slit experiment that consciousness is affecting reality. We make choices, and the choices then manifest themselves as what we experience. And they know that this is true, but they can't bring themselves to say, well, okay, well, because that's true, the result of that means the consciousness is the basis, that's fundamental. But there's a focus now on information as the basis of reality, that information, meaning what assembles the atoms, assembles the subatomic particles, makes one of them into a chair and another person into a human being. And all of the information that's at the basis, the information that is underlying it, that makes the same atoms form into a chair or form into a human being, but in really specialized ways, in really unusual ways that create these things that we experience. That fundamental aspect is information, and the information is in the mind. That's information is a mind-based phenomenon, and so information, which is the mind, then is creating the experience of the chair or the experience of a human being, and that's why we have different experiences with what we see as the same atomic particles. But they haven't, they know that's true, and they just can't bring themselves to say, well, okay, that means that consciousness is fundamental.
Who said this? Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. That is the most basic statement on consciousness, on the physics of consciousness that you can imagine. Dr. Martin Luther King said it. Who said, for only love can conquer hate? There it is again. That's from What's Going On by Marvin Gaye. He said it in 1971. And this is the one I love. Everyone, listen to a song called Get Together by the Youngbloods, 1967. Here's a little bit of it.
You hold the key to love and fear, all in your trembling hand. Just one key unlocks them both. It's there at your command.
Wow. This song, which is now, what, 50, 60 years old? 50, I guess, is today. It is a song of the moment. I knew it back then, of course, and now I've just rediscovered it. So everybody, listen to Get Together by the Youngbloods, and you'll learn some truth. So Craig, let's talk about where we're going from here. What do you see happening over the next few years?
Yeah, what is going to be happening is that science is going to be discovering more and more about these truths, and so there will be changes there, but there'll be a greater change in humanity and individuals. So we're going to be seeing groups of people coming together, and they're going to be making these discoveries. There's a real movement right now. We can already see it. We can see it in the millennials, in the Pew research that's been done. The millennials are saying that they are unaffiliated with religions increasingly, but that they are more spiritual.
Yes.
So in other words, they're hungry for this understanding. They realize that it's there. We all know at the basis of our being that these truths are there, and we're searching for them, and we want to find them. So it's going to happen at the grassroots level. The groups of people are going to be getting together. They're going to be understanding this the same way that the early church and the ecclesias, the little home churches, after the the time when Jesus had been crucified, the way that they got together and they discovered their own theology. Each one of them had their own belief system. And that's what's happening now. People are getting together and they're discovering these truths about humankind, about life, about what happens to us when we pass on to transition to the next level of life. And so they're discovering these things all by themselves, and then they're going to be coming together. We can do that now because we've got the internet. The estimate is that 70% of the people on the planet will be on the internet within 6 to 8 years, and that's 5.2 billion people that will be on the internet. So we have the opportunity now to communicate with people and to let the people know what it is that's going on. And as they share in Zoom groups and online groups in which they discuss these things, we're going to see a grassroots movement. And that's what's going to really make the change. It won't necessarily be the scientists, although we want them to come along with us. They are going to be left behind.
I think so too.
It will be people. Mm-hmm. And people are going to have more afterlife communications. That's going to be key. So
yes.
as people have afterlife communications, they realize their loved ones never left them. They're just in the next room, and that you can call out to them and you can talk to them and you can have them come into the room with you. And all you have to do is realize that that's true and do it. And as people realize that that's true, they're going to realize that, that reality is much greater. And they then are going to have life changes, what's called metanoia in the Greek, a life change, a change of heart. And as a result of that, then they are going to become different human beings. And as they become different human beings, we will have a different humanity.
Yes, yes, all true. One of the things that people are worried about is, oh my goodness, Christianity is dying out. The healthiest thing that can happen now to humankind is to lose all religions. All religions are based on fear. The whole point of our understanding consciousness is to come to understand increasingly that only love can conquer hate, that darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Love is the only thing we should focus on. Now, Jesus is completely of love. Christianity is completely of fear. So until this process continues, and I love watching it happen from millennials and older people too. I hear from them every day. Suddenly they realize Christianity makes no sense. Free yourself from Christianity. Come home to Jesus. My fun book, which should come out this fall, almost entirely written, but it's so much gets in the way, is called The Fun of Loving Jesus. And it's about exactly what Craig is talking about. What comes after Christianity as a way for us to celebrate, to love, to learn, to grow, to come together as a species. That's what that book will be about. And, my books, these are not my ideas. These ideas are coming from spirit. But it is so exciting for those of us who've been doing this for a while, Craig, to finally see it coming to fruition. I mean, for a long time, we could only hope change would happen, but it's happening now.
Yeah, we're watching it happen, and we're part of it. But the people who are out there who are doing this are becoming excited. It's exciting to watch them become excited.
Yes, it is.
To see them discover what it is that life is all about, that life is wonderful. Life is blissful. And all of the things that they feared, all of the issues that they had that were brought to them by religion, brought to them by the schools. You know, the schools are, their purpose is to create good consumers. And so the capitalism can be successful, and some people can make a whole lot of money, and the rest of us are just struggling along in the mire. The fact that all of that is not necessarily the way life needs to be, that we can change life, that it can be different, and that we can look forward to the next stage of life after the transition that we make when we just have an easy transition into the next stage of our lives, and it'll be a wonderful time. And people have realized that and have no more fear of death, have no fear of what's going to be happening in their lives, or whether they're going to be able to make enough money, and whether they're going to be successful.
No fear of anything.
The fear just goes away.
You can free yourself from fear altogether.
Yeah, Craig, yeah, and
Craig,
so it's exciting to watch people do that.
Mm-hmm. Tell people how they could get in touch with you, and you can help them even further.
Yeah, I would love to have people get in touch with me. I always respond and discuss things over email. So you can get in touch with me by going to youreternalself.com. Your eternal self is all one pushed together word, youreternalself.com. And if you go to youreternalself.com, you'll see that my email address is there, and you can send me an email if you would like to. My book is on I put it on youreternalself.com, so anybody could have it. It's published, but I also put it online, so you can go there and read the book. And my email address then is r.craig, C-R-A-I-G, period, Hogan, H-O-G-A-N, at afterlifeinstitute.org. And I'd love to hear from anybody who wants to talk about what your beliefs are.
Craig, thank you so much. We're going to be doing this again in a few weeks, and our topic is going to be time. I can't wait for that. I wish the time would go faster. But meanwhile, everyone, please never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end. And when you really get everything that means, it will change, as Craig says, change everything in your life for the better. Next week, our guest is going to be Sandra Champlain. I know everyone's rooting now that they hear that. One of the things those of us who are old in this work, like Craig and me, are being asked to do now by elevated beings, those who are not now in bodies and really are running this work, is to mentor and bring along the next generation of the best researchers in this field. And Sandra Champlain is one of our top picks. She couldn't believe in the afterlife. She said she was actually afraid of dying. So years ago, she began to do some first-person research. The things she has done are amazing. Her research convinced her the afterlife is real. She wrote a great book about her investigations called We Don't Die, and she began to do a terrific podcast called We Don't Die Radio. So many people say, oh, I listen to you on Seek Reality, and I also listen to Sandra, and I'm thrilled about that. I'm hoping we get her more listeners next week. Sandra Champlain is a beautiful and delightful human being and a true seeker. Please join us next week, and we'll bask in her light. This week, of course, our guest has been Dr. R. Craig Hogan, who is here for the 22nd time. Craig is the most prominent living expert in the vast field of studying the greater reality, and I think he's the most spiritually advanced person I've ever met who's in a body. My dear friends, the fact that your mind and my mind and all our minds and every mind on earth are all part of the same mind is true, and it's a gigantic insight. The fact that our shared minds is all that are all that exists, nothing else exists, and is continuous, that one mind is continuously manifesting this universe. Oh my goodness, that's also true. The fact that you and I have the power to choose, you and I can choose whether humankind is going to sink into darkness or whether the kingdom of God will in fact dawn on earth as Jesus told us it could. That's all that follows naturally from what we have discovered, and it's all true. It's also crucially true that I'm telling you now, I have decided I am going to have to devote the rest of my life as Roberta Grimes, which won't be much longer, to helping you understand and use the power of your ability to always choose love. I don't care what you think your life is about. The only choice that ever matters in your own life is the choice you make between love and fear. It's simple. And always and forever, love has to be your choice. If you want to talk about any of my books, if you want to talk about anything at all, you know you can always contact me through robertagrimes.com. I answer every email. Just please make sure I have your correct email address. Of course, past episodes of Seek Reality are available on webtalkradio.net forevermore, on iTunes, through the Seek Reality app that's available for free in the iTunes store. And a year later, they get rebroadcast at Dream Vision 7 Radio. Love those people. So if you ever wonder where you can find Seek Reality right now, just go to robertagrimes.com and click the radio tab. My dear friends, meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and you in particular are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.